Asokeji continued.
I was told that when the waves grow sharper and the pattern more irregular, it will indicate that he's listening to our voices.
Or responding to something else in the environment, yes.
Isai clarified, still addressing himself to Dala.
A neurologist can tease more information from the patterns than I can, Chief Dala. But the sharper, higher, and more irregular the waves, the greater the likelihood that he's going to awaken.
Then it appears there's no reason to hope the Admiral will awaken anytime soon, Wynn Dorvan said.
He returned to the bedside next to Asokeji, still holding the comlink he had stepped away to use. A human of unremarkable looks and brown hair, neatly trimmed in a conservative cut, he had the appearance of a conscientious lifetime bureaucrat, which he was.
So why would Admiral Boitu need to be fitted for a prosthetic hand now? Isn't that a bit premature?
Isai's muzzle curled at the implied challenge to his medical authority, but Dala recognized the deeper significance of her assistant's question. Wynn had noticed an inconsistency in the situation. To his meticulous way of thinking, inconsistencies often concealed deceptions, and given that it had been an assassination attempt that had put Boitu into the med center in the first place, any deception concerning the Admiral's care was not to be tolerated. When Wynn met Isai's half-snarl with a determined glare, Dala sighed.
The hand-fitting is my doing, Wynn.
The confession did not embarrass her so much as make her feel vulnerable, for she had learned during her long military career that every sentimental indulgence revealed a weakness that could be exploited.
I don't want Nick waking up to a stump.
Very wise,
Isai agreed, a little too quickly.
Having the prosthetic will make the transition easier.
Let's hope so,
Dala said, choosing to forgive the doctor's somewhat obvious attempt to curry favor. He was Bothan, after all. She reached over the rail and squeezed Boitu's knee.
The Alliance needs you back, old friend.
She started to withdraw her hand, but Isai reached out to stop her.
Wait!
He pointed toward the brain activity holograph.
He's responding!
Dala looked up and saw that a long chain of sharp peaks had appeared amid the rolling hills. Realizing that it had been her touch that had drawn the reaction, she experienced a flutter of schoolgirl joy and immediately felt a bit silly. She and Boitu were too old and too jaded for such romantic nonsense.
And yet, she couldn't help being more protective of him than ever. What should I do?
She asked Isai.
First, I have someone call Dr. Javier,
Isai said, naming the med center's chief neurologist. He thought for a moment, then added,
Second, keep touching the patient. Perhaps speak to him, see if it increases the activity.
Very well,
Dala nodded, and Asokeji immediately turned toward the exit. Dala turned her attention back to Boitu, looking into his glistening, vacant eyes, and began to speak.
Admiral Boitu, wake up. I need your report on the assassination attempt yesterday, and you've been lying around here for over a week.
She glanced up at the activity monitor and found the peaks unchanged, no higher or sharper.
Keep going,
Isai urged. Dala squeezed Boitu's knee again.
You're being remiss, Admiral. I'm giving you a direct order to wake up and report.
She paused and glanced over at Isai.
No change,
the doctor said.
Nick, are you listening to me?
Through the sheet, Dala began to run her fingers against the grain of Boitu's leg fur. That always got him going.
I need to know who attacked you.
There,
Isai said.
Follow that. His attention spiked.
Nick, we think the lightsaber wounds were a misdirection,
Dala continued.
Because, well, you survived.
Boitu's eyes moved. Not much, but it seemed to Dala that the pupils had definitely dipped toward his lower eyelids.
Nick, we need to know who did this to you, Dala said. And we have no leads.